Coming up, I'm going to tell you what most people, maybe even you, get wrong about a dream job, and then leak footage from Starbucks CEO. Student loan repayments are looming, and I'm going to coach you up. Let's go. All right, folks, welcome to the Ken Coleman Show, where I coach you up to make more money and make more impact. What does that turn into? Oh, it's a meaningful Monday instead of a miserable Monday. How about that? And life is way too short for you to just work and live for the weekend. I want to take on what I think is one of the most intimidating phrases that exists in our world today. And it's such a positive thing, you may not think of it as intimidating, but it is. What's the phrase? Dream job. Dream job. If I were to walk out onto the streets of Nashville with a camera and a microphone, and I were to ask people to define the dream job, you know, I think we would get a pretty interesting list or a different descriptions, if you will, but they would all be pretty much in the same bucket. In other words, I don't think it would be difficult for the average person on the street in America to define a dream job, because they would say, well, it's this and it's this. And maybe they'd get very specific. You know, maybe I stick a mic in somebody's face and one person describes it kind of in general. A next person describes it as something very specific. I want to be an astronaut, right? So the point I'm making is that the phrase itself, dream job, people instantly make a connection to the phrase, and they would have their version of a description. But the reason I think that the phrase dream job is so intimidating is I think it has the same emotional angst that love of your life or soulmate has. Now, soulmate, I think, is also an equally intimidating word. Why? A lot of weight in that deal. Are they my soulmate? I think they are. Oh, gosh. Did I make the right choice? There's so many people in this world, and how do I know that this one person is my soulmate? I mean, you can quickly spin yourself up, right? It's absolutely true. And I think the dream job is like a couple of levels above, if not multiple levels above, a really good job. And then you just think about the stress associated with getting a really good job, or what we call a good career, which we need to redefine career. Career should not be something we define as a lane that we run in, like healthcare or business or nonprofit. Career is nothing more than a way of describing our body of work. The journey, if you will. But I don't want to get off on that rabbit trail. We'll do more on that in another show. But what I do want us to acknowledge is that you think about the stress and the pressure on young people coming out of high school and college. All of that stress is aimed at one destination. Gosh, I got to get a good job. Got to get a good career. All kinds of pressure from parents and principals and teachers. So then you talk about the dream job. Oh my gosh. If there's pressure on the good job and good career, imagine what dream job does to a lot of people. It freaks us out, folks. It feels like this distant mountain that is partially seen, like we could see the peak, but then there's those ominous clouds and the thunder and the lightning, right? I mean, that's what the dream job does emotionally to a lot of people, not everybody, but to a lot of people, and I would say the majority. And so today, I want to set you free from the anxiety, from the ambivalence around the phrase, the dream itself, which is the dream job. I want to set you free, and I think it's going to really help you. And we're going to simplify the dream job. And there are two beliefs that I want to blow up today about the dream job. Belief number one, pay attention. If you're in a place where you're watching and can write this down, you need to write this down, because this is going to help you or some friends or family members that are stuck on this deal. The first wrong belief about the dream job is that there's only one. There's more than one dream job. I've got great news for you. Can I also just say, this is not a relationship show, but I've been married 24 years and happily married. Can I also just tell you, there's more than one person for you. Now, some of you are going, man, that's fantastic. Hey, I'm going to play the field. No. What I'm saying is, love is a choice. Love is a choice. And Stacy is the love of my life. I chose her, and thank God she had poor judgment and she chose me back. But the fact of the matter is, I don't believe there's only one soulmate for you. I think you choose to love. So I'm not going to get into a debate about this, but I'm just simply saying that we get locked up in relationships as well, you know? And I had some fun with that earlier. And I think it's the same with the dream job. So number one, there's more than one dream job for you. That's the first thing. Okay, rest easy. You don't have all this enormous eternal pressure on finding the one true dream job. I mean, Alex, honestly, that right there is enough to just shut the show down. We're going to fill the show today with our normal goodness. But yeah, he's like, are you serious, man? No. But that's a truth that a lot of young people need to go, okay, wait a second. Hey, how about you 30-somethings and 40-somethings who aren't in the dream job yet? How about you 50-somethings and 60-somethings? Hey, this message is for you too. It's not too late. Now, here's the second belief that's wrong, that a dream job takes a miraculous set of events that only a few fortunate souls can experience to actually get there. And so what this feels like is an unattainable fantasy, but it's not. It's actually doable. So Alex and I were meeting yesterday, and I got so excited about this. And I don't, you know what? I should have told Nathan to have this on the lower third. Nathan, don't worry about it. But if you can catch up to me, that's fine. But I now have what I believe is the shortest description, not definition, but description of a dream job. And I'll define it for you in moments. But what's the description? What is it really about? The dream job, your dream job, is not defined by the actual position that you fill. It is defined by the emotion you feel. Woo, that's good. I don't know if anybody's listening or watching today, but that right there will preach. I could do an offering and an altar call just off that one sentence. That's how good that really is. Let me say it again. The dream job is not defined by the position you fill. It is defined by the emotion you feel. In other words, if I am using what I do best, here's the definition of the dream job. If I am using what I do best to do work I love to produce results that matter to me, I am in the dream job. And the emotions that I will feel when I spend most of my day, most of my week, most of my month, most of my year using what I do best, talent, to perform work I love, passion, to produce results that matter to me, mission. I am in alignment. Because the creator of the universe designed me uniquely to make that unique contribution. And thus, it is the dream job. Hope that helped many of you today. Don't miss this next segment. I'm going to be honoring. Folks, let me make it very clear that I don't take myself very seriously. If you've watched or listened to this show, I like to poke fun at myself and be silly from time to time. But let me tell you what I take deadly seriously. That I get an opportunity to speak to people and share my opinion and some care. Some don't. That's fine. That's part of the deal, right? That's the price of admission. Some people will attack me or take shots at me or whatever. Of course, these are all keyboard warriors, none of which have anywhere close to a scintilla of the guts I have to actually put myself out there. But that's another story. But what I'm about to share with you, and I share news content, what's going on in the world every day with you, and I do it to inform you. I do it to equip you. And you don't have to agree with my opinion, but understand that I take it very seriously. And Well, let's just get into it because I'm pretty, there's some stuff you need to hear today. Both of these stories, vitally important. First, let's get to it. In the news is what we call it. Okay, so if you are a Starbucks lover, this will be interesting to you. If you hate Starbucks, this will be interesting to you. So we've got ourselves, Alex, in this story. We got what we call red meat for everybody. There's a little something for everybody on here, right? Because you're either in one or two camps. I don't think there's anybody that's middle of the road on Starbucks, right? Because you got the people like me. I enjoy Starbucks. I love Starbucks. You know, do I agree with all their politics and what they do? No, but you can't do that with any company. So I got to tell you, my wife introduced me years ago to a white chocolate mocha. Changed my life. Changed my life. Not something I would have ever thought about ordering. Like, left to my own devices, Alex, I would have never said to my wife, listen, have you ever thought about white chocolate, kind of a mocha coffee? I would have never thought of it. So she was drinking it, and she told me about it, and offered it to me many years ago. I reluctantly had a sip of it, and it changed my life. It's fantastic. It is a guilty pleasure. It's too many calories. And I don't have it very often, but the point is, I like Starbucks. I like the ambiance. I like the whole concept. So I was in. I also know that I have friends and family members that hate Starbucks, largely because they think it's overpriced coffee, and it is. It is. You are buying an experience, and you are buying the brand. Because when Starbucks first came out, we were all kind of proud to walk around with that cup and that cool logo and the little cardboard thing that protected my sensitive fingertips from the heat. And when you took a sip, your pinky went up a little bit like this. Our listening audience can't see it, but it's kind of that, I'm having a Starbucks. Well, let's just be real. Okay? That's how the brand came on the scene. So some of you hate Starbucks, and you're going to enjoy this story as well. Because things aren't good at Starbucks. If you love Starbucks, you're like, oh, dear. If you hate Starbucks, you're like, oh, my. That's what's going on with this story, okay? So here it is. We have a clip we're going to show you in just moments. This is an employee meeting where Howard Schultz, who is the most successful CEO in Starbucks history, walked away a couple years ago. Now he's back, largely because recently we reported on the show that several Starbucks stores have decided to unionize. And I am very clear that unions are bad for employees and they're bad for business. Oh, that freaks some people out when I say that, but here I am. Shoot your arrows. I can handle it. Now, so he's addressing some employees about store closures, and somebody puts the old iPhone on him, and we're going to show you a one-minute clip, and then I'm going to comment on this. Here is Howard Schultz talking to Starbucks employees.
I don't have to spend too much time on what's going on in the country and how America has become unsafe. But you all read the press release the last couple of days about the fact that we are beginning to close stores that are not unprofitable. But we're closing stores as a result of the co-creation sessions that we've had, almost 60 now, 25 in the SSC and the rest in the field, and we had one yesterday in San Antonio. But in all of those sessions, it has shocked me that one of the primary concerns that our retail partners have is their own personal safety. And then we heard the stories that go along with it about what happens in our bathrooms. The issue of mental illness, the issues of homelessness, and the issues of crime. And Starbucks is a window into America. We have stores in every community, and we are facing things in which the stores were not built for. And so we're listening to our people and closing stores. And this is just the beginning. There are going to be many more.
Okay, so that's what he's saying. And you can see there in the clip that he is saying it's about safety issues. And so let's look at the 16 locations that Starbucks plans to close. Los Angeles, Seattle, Portland, as well as some other cities. Now, you just look at those top three. All three of those are in cities where you have woke, liberal, wacko mayors. I'm just telling you, if you don't like it, you come up with your own. But that, in all three of the cities, you have law enforcement issues where the police have been demonized. The police have been pulled back. And so you've got homeless people coming in and taking showers and bathing in a Starbucks restroom. Now, again, a lot of you woke snowflakes are going to go, Ken, where's your heart? spare me. I grew up in ministry. I've actually served the homeless. My family serves the homeless every year. My point is, a private business is not a bathhouse. Get over your virtue signaling. So now here's where this has turned into something else. That's just my comment on that. He's going, look, it's not safe. These stores are not safe. And what you snowflakes need to understand is that if they continue to operate these stores and something happens in those stores where a homeless person is hurt, attacked, or there's violence going on because there's no police, Starbucks can be liable for this. So stop demonizing Howard Schultz, who, by the way, is no conservative Republican. So now here's the response. Only two of the reported 16 stores set for closure are tied to stores that actually voted recently to unionize. But of course, the union snowflakes are going, oh, this is a backdoor strategy to shut down our unionizing. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. It doesn't matter. If you don't like the company you work for, leave. A union is not going to fix it. That's what I'm trying to tell you. Unions were good when they were first formed in the early days, as we begin to see where big companies were taking advantage of people. And I will say on the record that when unions were first formed, it was a solid idea. But you know what corrupted unions? For those of you who think I'm anti-union, I'm not. What corrupted them was politics. And politics corrupts everything. Everything. It's not going to help anybody. All right. So there you go on that. Stay away from union. And listen, you don't like the company you work for, leave. This idea that these young people are like, well, I'm going to change the company. It's not your call. Go work for somebody else who votes the way you vote. See how that works out. Okay. Next story. What's my source on this, Alex? I sent this to you. Oh, yeah, CNBC. Okay, student loan repayment restarts in less than 50 days. Uh-oh. I told you, people. I told you. I've been telling Dave Ramsey on the Ramsey Show, Dave, it's not going to happen. He agrees. It's not going to happen. Oh, Joe Biden. Uncle Joe's going to come through. Is he? August 31 is the deadline for the student loan moratorium to end. What is going to happen? You know what? I have a special effect. I'm going to tell you what's going to happen before the August 31st moratorium on student loan. This is what's going to happen. Have I made my point? That's what's going to happen. Big government is behind student loan payments. Fannie Mae, Sally Mae, go look it up. Those aren't two old nice ladies that are sisters that are in the banking business. The federal government makes a lot of money on the backs of families and young people who take out student loans. They're not going to forgive them. Just think about this. If Joe were to ride in on a horse and forgive him, what do you think people are going to do that actually paid theirs back? They're going to be storming the castle with a pitchfork. It's not going to happen. You better wake up. You better come up with a plan to pay them off. The government is not going to forgive your student loan debt. This is the Ken Coleman Show. Welcome back to the Ken Coleman Show. You know, we've been talking about fear and doubt a lot today. And, I got to point something out, Alex. The studio door is cracked open, and I don't know if you consider that a problem or not, but if you do, I'd go ahead and shut that. I do it, but I can't get up from the chair. I'm connected. It'd be awkward. But we're talking about fear and doubt today, right? And Grant Lowry, one of our erstwhile viewers on YouTube, said, reminded me of something I said, I guess, recently, that I will vaccinate against fear and doubt. So there you go. Free vaccinations every day on the Ken Coleman Show. I'll give you your shot. I'll give you the shot, the special juice to be able to overcome fear and doubt. That's fun. I appreciate you bringing that up, Grant. I forgot about that. I mean, hey, if we're going to vaccinate against something, let's do fear and doubt. How about that? Right? Because if we get that, and then we go, hey, I can deal with it. I'm still going to face it, but it's not going to knock me out. I actually like that, Alex. I need to have a, we need to kind of come up with something on that. All right, a couple quick things I want you to know about from the old Ken Coleman Show bulletin board. That's what we need. When I need to make announcements, I want to bring back the old school bulletin board. Like, literally, like, it's maybe about, you know, yay wide, and I just have sheets of paper pinned to it. And I go, what's on the bulletin board today? On the bulletin board today, Ramsey Career Academy is launching our Career Boost Certification. This is a dream come true. I'm partnering with Jim King, who's our amazing vice president of all things Ramsey Education. And we've been helping students for years and years and years in America, in high schools and middle schools, learn financial curriculum. And so now we're locking arms to go, hey, let's equip adults and even kids who don't need to go to college. Let's just help them with basic social skills and soft skills like I'm going to be teaching in this certification, because that's what employers are looking for. People skills. You don't have to go to college for it. It's really cheap and it doesn't take long because I'm teaching it. I have ADHD. Any course that I teach, baby, we get to it. It is a Snickers bar, right? Boom, give it to me. Satisfy me. So I'll be joined by John Deloney teaching on some relationship issues, as well as several executives from Ramsey Solutions that are experts. And this is going to allow you to skill up. They call it upskilling. And I'm excited about it. It's the Career Boost Certification. Spots are limited. Don't wait. Go to RamseySolutions.com/boost. That's RamseySolutions.com/boost. And then for those of you who are looking, you feel frustrated, you're not getting a lot of answers back, my friends at ZipRecruiter, they offer this service to you for free. I'm not selling you a pair of socks or I'm selling you anything. It's ZipRecruiter. They want you on their site because companies pay them for access to talent. That's you. It takes all the yuck and the suck out of the job search. Let them be your recruiter while you live your life. ZipRecruiter.com/Ken. That's ZipRecruiter.com/Ken. All right. The bulletin board is done for the day. My imaginary bulletin board. You know, I enjoy the old cork board and the push pin. That's why I want this. The church bulletin. Yeah. You know, you're in the church hallway and you go, oh, I see Russell's daughter is babysitting now. That kind of stuff. I want to bring some old school back to all these Gen Z millennials that are watching me. They don't even know what a bulletin board is. You know why? Because they don't know what a bulletin is. By the way, it's a great word. It's a great word. Chris is up in Anchorage, Alaska. I've been to Anchorage before. Spent 4 months working on a United States Senate campaign back when I was a youngster. Chris, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hey, Ken. Good morning. Thank you for taking my call, by the way.
You bet, man. Thank you for watching, listening, and more importantly, for calling in today. How can I help?
Well, I think this might be God's timing or something, because I wasn't even supposed to be on the show. I just got called in by your people, and that's I had fantastic. No idea what you guys were talking about.
Oh.
But my question is to deal with fear and doubt as well.
Okay.
I'm 41 years old. For the last 20 years or so, since I was 19, I've had this desire, maybe a fantasy, to become a Hollywood actor. And I had no, it never even occurred to me. My dream growing up was to be in the military, but I wasn't able to be in the military because I was born with a rare condition. And so at the age
what
of 19.
What condition is that?
It's a medical condition that I don't want to get too detailed about it, but okay. it deals with the development of my bones when I was a boy, when okay. I was a child.
But it would not prohibit you from acting. The reason I asked the question is it would not put any limitations on your ability to act.
Right.
Okay.
But yeah, so I wasn't able to be a Marine or anything, which is what I always wanted to be. But that was the greatest source of depression for me.
Oh,
and then
so
out of nowhere,
sorry.
At the age of 19, just randomly, it's like one of the few times in my life where I actually understand the meaning of hit by a bolt of lightning. It just occurred to me, hey, I want to be something for God, and I want to represent God somewhere. And I thought, just out of nowhere, it came to me, be an actor. And then my immediate thoughts were shame, which that now that I'm 41 and looking back on it, that's very revealing to me that I was so ashamed by that thought. And for about, not to be dramatic, but that's the closest to what I can to what I can guess is what people who come out to their parents as being gay probably feel like, because, you know, it took me 4 or 5 years before I even had the courage to tell my parents that I wanted to be an actor. And
how did they react, by the way, when you told them?
They laughed at me.
Yeah, so I'm guessing that's what's kind of kept this thing below the surface until now at the age of 41.
Yeah, and the people who I thought would support me did not. The people who I didn't think would support me did. And so, I mean, so I've had mixed reactions. And,
have you done any acting at all?
No, because I ran away from it completely. I completely.
What are you doing for a living now?
I work for the VA, and that's actually where I'm at right now. I'm tucked away in a little office. That's why I'm talking kind of quiet.
No, I got quietly. It. Okay, so here's the deal. So did you call me to say, Ken, how in the world would I even create a path that would give me a chance to become a full-time actor? Is that what the question is?
Well, kind of.
Well, what is your question?
Well, lately, especially with the times we're living in, I don't even think that's even practical to pursue anymore, financially speaking.
Okay.
And I'm hearing you talk about Bethel Tech, and I've had people last few years tell me out of nowhere that they think I should be, they think I would be good at coding. I've never had any desire to do anything technology or computer related, but I can type really fast. And so I'm thinking, well, maybe I should go do Bethel Tech and at least have secure.
All right, so let's walk through that for a second, okay? The reason that you love acting, if I could just say it at a very simplistic level, is because you're creative, true or false?
True.
You're a very creative guy. If I were to go interview everybody, they go, oh, he's very creative. And that's what expression is. I love that early in the call you said not to be dramatic. I'm like, well, you kind of should be dramatic. You want to be an actor?
I know. I'll think that too.
So let's own the fact that you and dramatic and creative and that you're an expression kind of guy. And you know what's interesting about coding? If you really strip it down, coding is creating. It's wild. I've seen guys do this. They're just typing all these letters and shapes and everything, and it looks like Egyptian to me. And then, boom, on the other end of it is a beautiful web page. So I would wonder, if I were you, could you begin to express yourself creatively through coding? And I would actually spend some time before you make a decision to sign up with Bethel Tech, and I do want you to call them. In fact, I want you to call them as soon as we hang up. Because it's free to just talk to them. Say, hey, I just talked to Ken Coleman on the air. I've had people tell me about coding. I've never really thought of tech. Ken challenged me to say coding is a form of creativity. And really ask him a lot of questions. Then I want you to go another step. Before you commit to Bethel Tech, I want you to talk to some people who are coders in Anchorage and get an idea of what their day is like, all the different type of work they do. And I think you can gather enough information in your head to where your heart will say yes or no. And if it's a yes, I absolutely would engage with Bethel Tech, because 9 months later, and for less than $15,000, because you get $1,000 off by being a Ken Coleman Show audience member, they can not only get you trained, but get you placed. And I also want to challenge you that if you step into that, or whatever you do, I do want you to try to do some acting on a community level, community theater or whatever, just to allow that part of your heart to express itself, because it got poo-pooed for way too long. And I think that'll serve you in your entire life. Thank you so much, Chris, for the call. This is the Ken Coleman Show. Press on.
Thanks for listening to the Ken Coleman Show. For more, you can find the show on demand wherever you listen to podcasts and watch the show on YouTube. You can also find Ken across all social media by following at Ken Coleman.
If you enjoy this podcast, you should check out other great podcasts from the Ramsey Network, like Ramsey Everyday Millionaires.
Ordinary people built extraordinary wealth, and you can too. On Everyday Millionaires, you'll learn how millionaires live on less than they make, avoid debt, invest, and are disciplined and responsible. Listen to Everyday Millionaires wherever you listen to podcasts.